Welcome. You're listening to a recorded worship service of First Baptist Church, Lenoir City. Believe, belong, become.
Amen. What a blessing. And indeed, we serve a risen Savior. We know that He is living, whatever men may say. We serve a risen Savior, for He is alive and well and in the world today. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn with me to Mark chapter 16. And I'm just going to look at the first seven verses together with you. And the title of my short sunrise message today is Up and Adam. You ever heard that phrase before? Up and Adam? Well, if you're part of the modern generation, you probably recognize that phrase from an episode of The Simpsons Show. It was very popular. And they sort of revived it. But before that, in my generation, it had to do with a character named Adam Ant. And he would come up and he would say, Up and Adam. And he would go right all the world's wrongs and solve all the crimes. And we flew along with him in our imaginations. As I researched this phrase, I discovered it actually dates back to the Battle of Waterloo. It's attributed to the Duke of Wellington. And it means an order or exhortation to get out of bed early and get one's day started. To rise to one's feet, for you have responsibilities to undertake this day. He was actually quoted as saying, Up and Adam, boys, we've got a big day ahead of us. And indeed they did as they faced their enemy. But they faced their enemy with a newfound strength that day. The world was to be different after the Battle of Waterloo because Napoleon was to be defeated. It was to change the course of history. And now I want to tell you about another day that changed the course not only of history but of all eternity. And it all had to do with the fact that a leader rose from the grave. And he proclaims to the world today and to his followers that he is alive. And he challenges us with this admonition. Up and Adam, church, we've got things to do. We've got people to see and we've got places to go. I ask if you would to stand with me, please, and let's read this short passage of Scripture. The Bible says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise. They were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. I want to focus my thoughts today on verse 7. That's a short verse, but it's full of a lot of information. Verse 7 says, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. I ask you to pray with me and for me as we celebrate together the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And take to heart the admonition this morning, Up and Adam, church. Father, for the next few moments we give you our attention, our undivided attention. We focus on you and all that you've done for us. And Lord, as we do, we pray that we will be changed. That we will be emboldened. Empowered, encouraged to go forth from this place as those early disciples did from that empty tomb and proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is alive. Glorify yourself through the foolishness of preaching this morning is my prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. I want to share two or three quick thoughts with you this morning from this short verse. I want to tell you that first of all, when we look at Mark chapter 16, verse 7, the Bible seems to indicate that early on that Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ was up and at him. Because the Bible says it was early, just after sunrise, when those ladies got to the tomb. And what they discovered, that Jesus had gotten up earlier than they had. And he'd already gotten up and gotten going. And why did he do that Easter Sunday? Well, let me just share a few thoughts with you very quickly. First of all, I believe he was up and at him that first Easter Sunday because he had many places to go. His ministry was not done. And our risen Lord and Savior got up and got busy. And the phrase says, go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And so we see that as a risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ still had places to go. Literally, he had 7 different places, the Bible records, that he was going to go in the next 40 days. And significant things were going to unfold during this trip. Now, a lot of people requested more information on my summary about the last week of Jesus' earthly life last week on Palm Sunday, and wanted to know the sources of my information. So I'll just take an opportunity to share with you that I've always been blessed by the writings of a man named H.L. Wilmington, Dr. Harold Wilmington, who is a vice president. He's 80 years old now, retired vice president of Liberty University. But he has a book called The Life of Christ, and there you see a picture of it. And it's part of a 6-volume set called Wilmington's Guide to Bible Knowledge. And you can get this at any Christian bookstore. You can order it online. But he goes into great detail about all the things Jesus did and the places he went. It sort of helps it get organized for us because it's presented to us over 4 different Gospels. But he streamlines it and makes it understandable. So last week's message was summarized by what Dr. William Wilmington called the 8-day period, the last week of Jesus' earthly life. And then what I'm talking to you about today is summarized in what Dr. Wilmington calls the 40-day period, the 40 days when Jesus wandered this earth after his resurrection and before his ascension. So where all did Jesus have to go that first Easter morning? Well, the 7 different places that he was to go over the next 40 days included outside the tomb, where he had several conversations with different individuals. And then we see him next on the road to Emmaus as he appears to the disciples. Then we see him in the upper room. He will return to the upper room a second time. Then he goes to Galilee. He will go to Galilee at least twice in that 40-day period. Then he'll go to Jerusalem. We don't know exactly how many times he went to Jerusalem, but we know that he was there repeatedly. And then we know at the end of this 40-day period, he goes to the Mount of Olives, and then we know that he has ascended into heaven. Clearly, Jesus had plenty of places to go. But don't miss the phrase, if you will, when it says he is going ahead of you, ahead of you. Jesus Christ is leading the church triumphant and has been ever since the moment of his resurrection. And wherever God calls us to go and whatever he calls us to do, we do it in the confidence that we are following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I rejoice that we have a risen Lord who's out in front and leading the way. Secondly, on Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ was up and at him because he had many people to see. Notice the text says, go tell his disciples and Peter he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. See, they didn't know it, but they had a divine appointment with the risen Savior. It had been scheduled from time immemorial. Jesus had a lot of divine appointments over those next 40 days. As a matter of fact, we can ascertain by the text that over the next 40 days, Jesus made a total of 11 different appearances. The first appearance was to Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. The second appearance was to a whole group of women outside the tomb. The third appearance appears to have been to Simon Peter himself. The fourth appearance to the 2 disciples on Emmaus Road. The 5th appearance to the apostles in the upper room. The 6th appearance to Thomas and the apostles, the 7th to the 7 apostles by the Sea of Galilee, where he would restore Peter to his ministry. Then the 8th appearance to the apostles, and the Bible says up to 500 disciples. The 9th appearance to James, his half-brother. The 10th to all the apostles again. And the 11th appearance to the apostles finally on Mount Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, across the valley from Jerusalem's temple before he ascended into heaven. So clearly Jesus had lots of people to see. And that's why he got up and got going early that morning. And then lastly, I would say on Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ was up and at him because he had many things to do. He wasn't just going places to be going places. He wasn't just seeing people to be seeing people. He had a purpose in that. And the text that makes that plain when it says, he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. In other words, it had been planned for a reason, for a purpose. All the things that Jesus ended to. And so as our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went out over the next 40 days, look at what he did. He appeared to and assured over 500 different people in their faith. And secondly, he explained the scriptures in great detail to those people on the Emmaus Road. Thirdly, he increased the shallow faith of a doubting Thomas. Fourth, he repeated the miracle of fishes at the Sea of Galilee. And then fifth, he forgave Peter and restored him to ministry. And sixth, he gave the great Olivet discourse about his second coming. Then he gave the great commission to his followers. all before he ascended into heaven. And all these things have relevance for my life and your life. Because all the things he said to his early followers in those 40 days are things he still says to us today. He still underscores for us today the same truths. He comes to us and he reassures us that everything's going to be okay. He opens our eyes so that we can better understand the Word of God. He helps to increase and build up our faith. He does miracles in our life and provides for us in ways that nobody else can. Even when we make mistakes like Peter, he forgives us and restores us. And then, of course, he teaches us about things to come and how that should be the driving motivation in our life. Of course, he's given us the Great Commission, too, that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he's gone into heaven to do what? To prepare a place for us so that where he is, we can be also. I want to focus on just one of those things he did during that 40 days and show you the relevance of that for my life and your life. Specifically, the Great Commission that Jesus gave shows us why you and I on this Easter Sunday are properly up and at 'em early on. The Bible says in Matthew 28:18-20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. Now, this is the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You want a reason to get up and at 'em on this Easter Sunday morning? There it is. It's the same set of reasons that Jesus had. Like our Lord, we too must be up and at 'em early this Easter Sunday because we have many places to go, church. We have many places to go in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice what the text says. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. That's our marching orders. Jesus out front leading the way as our risen Lord and Savior gives us those marching orders. Easter's a busy season and Easter Sunday is a busy day. It's a busy day for Miss Vicki and I. We've got plenty of plans just like you guys. Get up early and come to church. Then go downstairs and fellowship together. And then, of course, this afternoon, we got places to go and things to do and people to see, like so many of you gathering together with our families. But I'm talking about so much more than just what you do on Easter Sunday. Surely what happens on Easter Sunday has a greater impact in your life than just one day out of the year on your calendar as a follower of Jesus. We have with us today retired missionaries in our church. We have in the balcony visiting with us a young lady who grew up in our church who has been on the mission field. I have many people in this church family who have relatives who are missionaries. I'm always reminded of what happened when I graduated from seminary. We had Reverend Benjamin Weir come and speak to us for our commencement address. And Benjamin Weir was a Christian missionary who was taken hostage in the Middle East, and he was held hostage for 16 months by a group called Hezbollah. And he was released about 3 months before I graduated seminary, and we were honored to have him come and speak to us. And I'll never forget what that man said. As long as I live, I'll never forget it. He gave us our commencement address, and he held up his Bible, and he showed us the map of the Old Testament. And he talked to us about Abraham, and he said when God called Abraham, he challenged Abraham to march off his map. He called him to go someplace he didn't even know existed. It wasn't even on any of Abraham's maps. That's what faith is about, he said. Be willing, first of all, to go wherever God's called you to go. Now, when I look back over my life, I realize how significant that statement, that admonition was to be and how it would play out in my life. I would be called to go to South Georgia. Now, in Tennessee, you got East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and West Tennessee. In Georgia, we got North Georgia, and we got South Georgia. And they're two entirely different nations. You understand? I mean, you go below the gnat line, and you got sand and rattlesnakes. But the Lord called me to go to South Georgia, and I did. And then the Lord called me to come back to Atlanta. And then the Lord called me to pastor a church in North Georgia. And finally, the Lord called me to come to Tennessee. And that wasn't on my map. That wasn't on my radar. But I'm sure glad God called me to come to this place. It can be a rewarding thing if you'll just go wherever God calls you to go. You want a reason to get up and at 'em this morning? Listen and see where the Lord's telling you to go, church. Be willing to go there. Secondly, like our Lord, we too must be up and at 'em early this Easter morning because we have many people to see. Jesus said that we are to make disciples, and notice the next phrase, of all nations. In the Greek language, the word is ethnos, all ethnicities. And so we've got an awful lot of appointments with an awful lot of people, do we not? We need to see an awful lot of people in the name of Jesus. Now, in times gone by, that might have been going overseas, but not anymore. The world's come to us. God may not be calling you to go across the ocean to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but He may be calling you to go across the street, or to speak up at work, or to engage in conversation with any and every person you come across who does not know Jesus Christ. You need a church. You need a reason to get up and at them this morning, church. Because like Jesus, you have places to go and you have people to see. And then thirdly, we too must be up and at them because we have many things to do. We have many things to do. Notice what Jesus said we're to do when we see these people, all the people of the earth in His name. We are to make disciples of all nations. We are to baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. I rejoice this morning at 10:15 when we gather again to worship. We'll be baptizing. We're fulfilling a biblical admonition. And then thirdly, make disciples, baptizing them, and then teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. How significant is that? How significant is that? Because you see, the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ left us with this wonderful book, the book that tells us the story of what happened that first Easter, but also becomes for us a guidebook for our life, also becomes for us a rule of behavior, becomes for us a mandate on how we should live our lives. And so, my friend, if you're looking for a reason to get up and at them, then I would say to you that there are an awful lot of reasons to get moving this year at Easter. The most important reason to get moving this year at Easter is because your Lord and Savior got moving. Because He got up and at Him. You and I need to get up and at Him as well. Can I tell you the first time I felt the impact of that statement? I'm honored to have my in-laws as a member of this church. But when I started dating Miss Vicky, we dated for 7 years, and we've been married since 1983, so you can do the math, okay? We've been married 34 years, so we've been together 41 years. And I'm only 45 years old. Isn't that an amazing thing? I'm cutting up. We have been together 41 years. We started dating in high school, and after being dating her a few years, the time came for me to come to Tennessee and meet her family. And I was kind of looking forward to that, you know? I mean, I'd really never been to Tennessee, and I'd never met much of her family. And then her mom dropped the bombshell on me. She said, "Now we're going to have to get up and at them in the morning because we only have 2 days in Tennessee. So we're going to have to leave kind of early." And I'm thinking, I can handle that, you know, 7:30, I can handle that. If I have to get up a little early. Remember, I was a teenager now. She said, "Oh no, we've got to be on the road by 3:30 or 4 o'clock. As I got to know my in-laws better and better, bless his heart, he worked for the Ford Motor Assembly Line, and the assembly line rolled at 6 a.m. He got up every morning at 4 o'clock. So if he was leaving the house at 4 o'clock, that was pretty much normal for him. I've always admired him because he got up and at him every day of his life. I've always admired my mother-in-law because she got up and at him every day of her life. More importantly, I admire my Lord and Savior because He got up and at Him early on Easter Sunday morning, folks. And in so doing, He demonstrated to all the world, that He was stronger than death and stronger than sin and stronger than hell. And He got up and at Him because He had many places to go and many things to do and many people to see. And He calls us to do the same this Easter and every day hereafter. Get up, get moving in the name of Jesus Christ, church, and go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and teaching them to obey all things that He has commanded us. And if we do that, one day we will hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." All God's people said, "Amen indeed." He is risen, church. He is risen indeed. Let's pray together.